You're listening to the How To Podcast with Luke and Ben. I'm Luke, and this is Ben. And we just decided that we're going to start recording. I'm not sure what we're talking about today, but what we were talking about when you told me to record is you don't have any paint.
We don't have any paint. No. So here's what happened, right? In February, Texas gets a freeze, right? When Texas gets a freeze, who doesn't get freezes?
Not a COVID freeze.
Not an actual
freeze, like actual frost,
temperature,
Mother Nature.
It might have been another one of the, what are the weather
polar
stations?
Polar vortex is the word you're thinking.
Polar vortex, that's the word right there. Polar vortex, right? We get a polar vortex thing in February in Texas. Pipes freeze for Sherwin-Williams. All raw material for paint generally comes through Texas for Sherwin-Williams. Okay. And a lot of other painting companies or conglomerates, because Sherwin owns a lot.
And Sherwin-Williams out of Ohio, right?
Yeah, their headquarters are.
But all their paint comes through Texas, because why not?
Why, of course. So metals, the solids, the things that they put into paint to make paint in the chemistry that is paint freezes, pipes burst, right?
Yeah.
And then because America is the way that we currently are, we don't have what you would call skilled vocational labor, pipe fitters and welders on staff ready to go to handle that kind of catastrophe, right?
Yeah.
In an orderly amount of time. And so paint shortage happens.
I picture a paint explosion being colorful and fun, but I'm sure it's probably just like base white paint.
It's the base, all the white.
Probably just sludging out. In my mind, I'm picturing a colorful, like, array of rainbow colors splattered all over a room. Oh, what happened?
That only happens when you see it pouring out of the back of a painting vehicle going down the highway, right?
We've all seen
the paint lines, from a truck. That's the best.
And the best is the very best is when it's on I don't know if you've ever seen on like open highway between like Las Vegas and LA. We used to drive there a fair amount. But where there's enough room for somebody to drive through paint, realize they've driven through paint, and then start swerving all over the place. Yeah, you got it.
You know. Well, here's a fun thing for me. Quite literally, this happened 2.5 weeks ago. I'm on my way to a job site, right?
Yep.
And I'm maybe a mile, 2 miles out. And I know just because of technology, my crew's only just ahead of me. They're not far.
Sure.
I'm all of a sudden... I make a right-hand turn and I realize that I'm following a paint trail, right? And this paint trail is headed for that mile and a half. It's headed to where I'm going.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, here we go. I'm showing up to a disaster. We're in a paint shortage. I've got 5 gallons scattered across the damn highway, right? Thank goodness that paint trail continued beyond my house, because... I was terrified as I pulled up. Like, I rolled down my window. I was like, I rolled down and I talked to one of my painters. His name's Jaime. I was like, everything okay? He's like, yeah, why? Why are you sweating? And I was like, because I saw paint. And he's like, that wasn't me. It was there. I saw that. And I was like,
did you know what color it needed to be for the job and what color was on the highway? Because that would have been even worse. You're like, no, that's midnight sundown. I know what color, I don't know what the colors are, but you know what I mean. That's sunflower gold.
I just like that you were able to come up with midnight sundown.
Hey, right? That's what I'm here for.
Right there. Right there.
Well. Hey,
it's not technically, creativity. I don't believe that's a color, but we're
it's not a color yet.
It's not a color yet.
Yeah.
So fun things on my front. We need to catch up because we haven't caught up on dad stuff, your life, my life, those things.
Very true.
So I crossed 200,000 followers, right?
Okay, that's on TikTok.
That's on TikTok, yeah.
And you're up to what, like 30 on Facebook?
No. Yeah, oh, like 30? 30
total.
30 total, yeah, yes. No, absolutely. We're not pushing traffic to Facebook. That's not where that's going at all anymore. But we crossed 200,000 followers on TikTok. Super excited about that. Thank you to all my followers, the friends, the people that I've met. It's super fun. So then over this last month, right?
Yeah.
And I encourage you and everybody else to go watch some videos. There was this Pez video that goes viral, right? This guy, and I'm going to use a Pez dispenser because I have a bunch. This guy.
Why wouldn't you?
Well,
Darth Vader?
Well, this one's Kylo Ren. Okay. Oh, okay. So this person on this TikTok takes a Pez dispenser, opens it, right? And loads this sucker just like this, open, from the bottom, and he does this camera trick where it looks like it loads, right? Without unwrapping the plastic.
Yep.
I make a TikTok. It doesn't work for me. It's clearly a fake, right? And that particular day also, I happen to have one of my followers, because I just moved in a new place. They got me some housewarming presents, right? Sure. One of my followers, her name's Morgan. She gets me an R2-D2 popcorn maker. And let me just say that one more time.
Nope, I'm gotcha.
R2-D2 popcorn maker. And it's quite literally like 18 inches tall. I can't
find the real R2-D2, or did he ever make popcorn?
No, he never made it. I don't think he ever made popcorn. Not to my knowledge. I mean, he could do anything. He's a droid.
I'm just asking. I don't know if he had like a capacity, because I assume, I mean, we know it's just a midget in a little person. A little person. Well, when they made it, it was probably okay to say. It's a little person inside of the little trash can just walking around. But for the movie's sake, you imagine it just being so full of circuitry, right? The reason it was that size is because that's all of the stuff that would fit inside. I don't know if there's anywhere to put the popcorn. A good popcorn maker. I mean,
so coincidentally,
to pour in the kernels. So maybe he couldn't.
The way this works is R2's head helmet comes off, and that's the freaking bowl.
There you go.
Like we're talking functionality across the board. Okay. Right?
So this R2-D2 for making popcorn better than the original.
So we get a popcorn maker, and also one of my followers sends me lightsaber light up chopsticks. And this whole thing starts because I start eating the popcorn with chopsticks.
Sure.
And my followers in a live are like, I bet you can't. At some point, they're like, I bet you can't load this Pez dispenser with chopsticks. So I take.
Can I tell you a very quick side note?
Go ahead.
I was ridiculing my wife, which now I owe her a big apology. Thanks for that.
Sorry. I don't even know what we're apologizing for, but
she eats Flamin' Hot Fritos with chopsticks.
This is an excellent idea.
Then she doesn't want to get the hot sauce on her fingers, because then if you rub your eye, then
it's fire.
You're totes. Yeah. No good.
I mean, from a functionality and a safety concern.
I was laughing at her. I'm just like, this is hilarious to watch.
And now here we are.
And now here you are. You're eating popcorn that way. Now you were doing it just to be cool.
I was doing it, but then
solely to be cool. She's doing it for functional purposes.
But listen to this. Okay. But the story continues. So I load this Pez dispenser, 12. I take a stack of 12 Pez, quite literally load them in one shot. They just drop and slide right in. I make a TikTok of it from my live. Pez Candy USA season, right? And they make a whole viral challenge out of how do you load your Pez dispenser, right? And then they ended up sending me a package that I'm waiting for that's going to have a bunch of Pez goodies in it. I can't wait.
Do you like Pez?
Do I like Pez? Are you saying you don't like Pez?
Honestly, my kids have Pez dispensers, and I've loaded them a few times for them. I haven't actually tried it. I couldn't tell you what Pez tastes like.
As a baby of the 80s and a child of the 90s.
Hey, I can't. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, you know what? You know what I feel bad about? I feel bad that we're not doing this in person. However, it's going to give me an opportunity to bring a Pez the next time we do this in person, because I'm bringing you a dispenser.
I'm confident that I've had it, but I'm thinking, is it like Smarties? I don't know. Like it's been probably 25 years since I've had a Pez, I guess. Personally, they're in my house right now. I could probably go and find one, but I wouldn't know where to start. And then my kids probably count they're four, so they can count to like 20. So they could probably count how many Pez are left in their thing. So if I eat it, then I'm probably in trouble.
You are in trouble.
Yeah.
You are in trouble.
I don't know. I don't know what the point. Like, these have different flavors because they're different colors, right? It's like
grape. Oh, yeah. They've got sour. They've got raspberry. Okay. So that's a pineapple sour. We got sugar cookie. There's blue raspberry. Grape is the best. Orange grape is second. Lemon. I mean, you name it. They've got the flavors.
And it's just sugar and chalk, right?
I mean, pretty much, but
and natural flavors.
I do think, and this is just this. Now we're getting into opinion of bias.
Okay.
My opinion and bias is that Pez is definitely better than Smarties. However, I don't know that it's better than an Echo wafer.
Necco wafer, been a long time since I had a Necco wafer too.
We're just gonna
eat a lot more candy than I do. How many Tootsie Pops do you eat a day?
Well,
raspberry Tootsie Pops to you today.
Coincidentally, my raspberry Tootsie Pop intake is currently down as my Pez intake
is. TikTok conflict. Not ideal, sir.
Not ideal.
Not ideal.
Gotta keep all the brands happy, you know? All the brands.
You keep them all. I don't know. I mean, they're gonna be coming after each other. They're gonna be breach of contract. We sent you all those Tootsie Pops.
We're not paying you to eat Pez.
Yeah, I assume everybody on your TikTok knows the Tootsie Pop story, but at least for the podcast purposes, I don't think we've discussed this. So this Pez is hot on the heels of your Tootsie Pop.
Yeah. So
we talked about the original Tootsie Pop in the first podcast that we did. Mm-hmm. You picked one up off the street like a filthy animal, mm-hmm. and you ate it for one of your
basically a raccoon.
Yeah,
a garbage panda
is the proper term.
There you go. Thank you. Thanks for getting it
so,
right.
So like a disgusting monster, you picked up and ate it right off of the grimy streets of Salem, Oregon. And then people started sending them to you. And now Tootsie Pop.
Just to save me. They sent them.
Yeah, to save you from yourself. They're like, don't pick them up off the streets. We got your back.
Exactly.
Get the story right. So then you have eaten enough of these Tootsie Pops and it's become a big enough thing that the Indian shooting the star sent you an email and said, hey, do you want a bunch of these? If you eat them on the thing, we'll send you more.
Well, yeah, pretty much. And they asked if I wanted to do some sponsored content come fall. And I was like, yeah, absolutely.
Don't screw that up with this Pez thing.
We're good to go. We're good to go. If anything, I've got a sweet tooth for every type of candy. Okay. So there's how many teeth exist in your head? I can't even remember now.
32. I don't know.
32. And I've got all my wisdom.
I've got the internet right here. I can look. Let's see.
I've got my wisdoms too. So I can allocate a tooth per candy and we're going to be good to go. But
there you go. Each of your individual teeth is sweet. So how many? I got to learn how to tell
you. The thing about that is that a lot of it is affiliated with the flavor of cotton candy. I mean,
Cotton candy. The cotton candy is way more about the texture than the flavor. The flavor is sugar.
But I mean, just the artificial flavor of cotton candy, anything basically makes me happy across the board every time.
How many teeth? There are 32 teeth in total, 12 more than a baby set. The last four of these are called wisdom teeth. So if you've had your wisdom teeth out, you're down to 28. I have two of my wisdom teeth out. Both on my left side are out, right side are in. I had to check. I didn't even know.
No, all mine are in. I'm rocking 32.
There you go. So I was right. That was the number I said.
And that's impressive because I didn't know. So yeah. I'm impressed. Now let's
have you can have up to 32 different candy affiliations and be safe.
At least 32. And I mean, I really don't mind doubling up on that, going outside, inside on the candy, like Pez gets the outside, Tootsie Pop gets the inside sort of concept. So
Tootsie Pop question for you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you eat your Tootsie Pop? Are you melting the candy all the way to the Tootsie center? Just chewing on it?
No, you don't. No.
How long do you go before you start chewing on the thing?
Okay. Once
can you just pull out a Tootsie Pop and just bite through it without taking a single hit?
I'm afraid I'd shatter my teeth.
That's what I would think.
Yeah.
And then you lose an endorsement.
But I will say, when you're eating a Tootsie Pop and it becomes just translucent enough where you can see the chocolate Tootsie at the center, where you can just start to see that brown coloring.
Yeah.
That's when I bite.
Okay.
I want the crunch. I don't want to be, I want the crunch of it all. And then I'm absorbing it all in that last bite. And that's a lot of fun because then you know what happens? This is the fun part.
The chocolate and the candy mixed together.
Mixed up. And then they get to this gummy like paste almost thing that really locks your jaw together. And it requires more saliva just to dilute and get out of this. That's a happy, if I can't open my mouth, success.
There you go. So here's my thing is the paper stick is where it gets you. If you try to lick all the way to the center of the Tootsie Pop, it's not the chewing on the candy. None of that's the problem. It's just that if you over moisten the paper stick.
Yeah.
And it's you start eating paper. Come on.
Yeah. It's like, you know, and that's the thing. I agree with that. Like, like even if you do it and you get to the base of that stick and, you know, it gets that, that moisture around the base and it, like kids do that. Kids will suck on those things for days.
Oh yeah. And just walk around with a stick, like it's a cigarette and they think they're so cool. They don't even know who James Dean is, but they're like, oh yeah,
this is my game.
Is it just me or every once in a while you like watch one of those old movies and you're like, man, I should have started smoking. It's so cool. But kids probably don't think that way now, but I think it's ingrained in our, like you said, child of the 80s, kid of the 90s.
Yeah, baby of the 80s, child of the 90s. Yeah, we see things through a different lens. There's no doubt about
it. For sure. But will our kids ever look at smoking or will they be like, oh, vape pens, those are so cool. Like whatever the bad habits they miss out on. Because I never smoked. I probably had a few pulls off cigarettes in my life. Sure. But I was never a smoker, but I still every once in a while I'll catch myself going, that's cool. That's cool. I don't know why.
It looks
but
cool.
Nobody smokes cigarettes anymore.
Not many, at least not up here. We don't get a lot of them, right? Yeah. We don't get a lot of them. Yeah. How's your life been? I know you've been busy too.
Life has, it's been busy. It's been very busy, but we've been doing a lot of camping. The last two weekends were camping, middle of July. We took a trip. We've been cramming in all this vacation.
Good.
That we weren't able to do last year. So it feels like every single weekend is completely packed. But I don't know if it's good or bad. Like I'm sitting here, like we went to Mexico for a week. My whole family, and when I say my whole family, it's my mom, my brothers, my sister, all of our kids, spouses, everybody. There's like 15 of us go to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to explain the phenomenon of every day seemed to go on forever, but the week flew by. It was very relaxing. I watched very little TV. I think the only TV, the time we had the TV on, because this was mid-July, so it was during the NBA Finals. We watched half of game five and most of game six for the NBA Finals, so the Bucks winning the championship.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the only time we sat down and watched TV. We had music on in the background, but we didn't really do anything. I didn't stop and read a book. I didn't do anything. Just the kids were in a pool. We had a big house, private pool. And so we're just in and out of the pool all day. I left the resort for 3 hours,
mm-hmm.
maybe the whole time. But it's one of those vacations where I didn't necessarily feel rested or relaxed because you're constantly in chase mode. I didn't feel like I was rushed. I was just in this kind of weird, constant state of being, you know, like I'm just here. I was very present. It was very good. But I got back going and I'm still tired. And then last weekend, whatever it is. So this very last weekend, we did a 3-day camping trip. The weekend before that, I did like a 1-day camping trip where I just went out and back to the coast.
Okay.
And it's kind of the same thing where it's just like, and maybe it's just the point in my life where that's kind of where I live now. I have 2 4-and-a-half-year-olds and it's just like, there's no time to sit back down and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But you never have time to go out and really do something either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, no, absolutely.
So I'm good, but I'm kind of, it feels like I'm in that state all the time where it's everything is scheduled. I think every weekend is booked out till the end of the year.
Wow.
And my wife is now planning everything. Like any weekend that has any opening is being filled in immediately right now. And then we're starting to fill out until next summer. I don't know how I feel about it.
Okay.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. So going through my career, I had one of my mentors, his name is Matthew, great guy. He often preached on the concept that is scheduling, right? Yeah. And calendaring and doing those things in longevity. And the concept was always this idea that it's really nerdy. It's a really nerdy thing to calendar and schedule and do those things. And people often look at it as this concept that it's taking away from spontaneity, right? Because you're always so scheduled around the things, but spontaneity can happen. It just happens during those times that you've already blocked off, right? Which That doesn't sound like spontaneity at all. But it can happen. It's still fun. But I know that the life that you're in, and it's the world I pretty much live in all my life. Like that is 24/7 for me. The other thing I wanted to touch on, I like that you called it the coast. You went to the coast.
Oh yeah, yeah.
This is a very Pacific Northwest thing that we do.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, so we went to like the specific campground that we went to is at Cape Disappointment.
Excellent.
So Cape Disappointment, the very southwestern tip of Washington State, the beach in Cape, like right next to the campground, is called Waikiki Beach. Just, I'm sure it was named after Waikiki in Hawaii, but it's very confusing. Somebody's like, so you were in Hawaii? And I'm like, no,
no,
there's a Waikiki Beach there. But the crazy thing was we watched a boat like run ashore on the beach. Like there's a fisherman that was out there and ran into the one of the rocks off the end of the jetty. Oh. And yeah, ended up getting beached right there. And Waikiki Beach in Washington, it's just this tiny little patch. I mean, it's maybe 200 yards across the whole way at low tide. Like it's not very big at all. So there's a big crowd gathered around it. It was pretty wild. But like if you're standing on the beach, whether like Long Beach, Washington, it's just north of there. Mm-hmm. That's not the beach. Like it's only the beach if you've never left the Northwest, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Like,
the second you go to California or Florida or Hawaii or Mexico or whatever.
Anywhere tropical.
It doesn't even have to be that tropical. Like San Diego, I don't think of it as tropical. I guess it is, but like compared to the Northwest. But man, you go to Huntington Beach in outside of LA. You go there, that's a beach. There's people running up and down in bikinis and umbrellas out.
Central California, Santa Cruz.
Well, I mean, you get up in Northern California. Like Big Sur feels like the coast, too. I would say it's probably the coast along Northern California. But like there's a certain point where you get to and it's like the fir trees are huge and the cliff sides are dramatic. And you go down there and you're like, I don't really want to go in that water at all. Then you're at the coast.
The desire to go to the water has left.
And well, there's two different reasons you don't want to go into it, because there's plenty of beaches that have soft, rolling, gentle tides and whatever, and they're delightful. Those just happen to be freezing cold. The wind's blowing sideways, and the sand is not exactly what you would call soft or inviting. Right? It's wearing rain boots up to your knee. You're going out. You're looking for razor clams or whatever. You're not doing anything in that. But the other reason you don't want to go in the water is all of the places in between those soft shorelines, it will murder you. It like just looks like murder waves. Everywhere you go, there's a jagged rock sticking up going against like a jagged cliff. And it just looks like oh, that's how I die.
Yep. That's where it ends for me, right?
Exactly.
There.
Exactly. And I'm sure there's beaches like that in Hawaii or coastline like that in Hawaii. But the beaches have a very different inviting feel. Even the like treacherous parts, you're like, pretty turquoise down there. Like I was closer. Like have you been to Maui?
No.
Okay. So in Maui, and I'm sure they have these in other places too, but, and I can't remember the name of it, but they have this famous blowhole where the waves come rolling in. There's a, I don't know, 3 foot wide hole in the rock. So what happens is the waves come in, they go in like a sea cave, and then there's a release valve and it shoots the water straight up. Depending on the size of the tide, it can go 50, 100 feet high. I was standing over that, staring into it, just being like, this is amazing. I go like within, I don't know, 200 yards of an Oregon coastline. I'm like, nah, I'm good. Like, I'm just going to stay back here. There's something about like if I get hit with a warm jet of water, it'll probably kill me.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I'm just like, and no, that's why, you know, selfies kill more people than sharks. I'm sure you know that statistic.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, people, like you see a tropical coastline, you're like, I'm going to stand right next to that and take a picture. I don't think as many people do that in Oregon. Not as many people do that in Washington State.
We get the pictures from afar with a nice zoom lens. That's the name of the game. It's a nice zoom lens.
That's exactly
right. But we do call it a coast. It is the coast. It is not the beach. It is very Pacific Northwest. And I love that about us personally. Like, I heard you say it and I was like, it's such a thing that we do though.
Yeah.
And we don't even realize it.
Well, that's one of the funny things is there's little identifiers like that all around. Like if you live in Southern California, freeways are not I-5. It's not I-405. It's the 405 to the 5 to the 22 to the 55 to the 51. That'll be the best way to get to Corona. Like it's everything is like, cause there's so many of them down there.
Yep.
And it's funny that
they're all zigzagging all over the place.
Oh, it's nuts. Cause well, in no directions in Southern California, cause we lived down there, I don't know, 4 years, I guess. Well, yeah, 4.5 years. in two different stints, but it was one of those things where no directions are predicated on any surface streets. It is all freeway driving. Mm-hmm. And it was like, we lived in an apartment in Orange, California, and you took the 405 to the 22, and then you got off at, and I'll get it wrong, but it was like, you take City Way to City Boulevard to like City Pass or whatever it was, but everything was like, all the streets had the same name, but then they had like a different, you know, whatever, surface name. So it was like Drive to Avenue to Boulevard to whatever, but they were all like exactly,
They're all the first parts.
And they just drove around the block at Orange and over by the, if you've ever been to Disneyland and you go just away from the Crystal Cathedral. I don't know if you've ever driven by that. It looks like Superman's house. Mm-hmm. And it's over in the city of Orange, which is right by there. But that's where we lived, right there. But it was the City Way to City Drive to City Place or something. And that was the directions to our house. But strange.
That's how it is.
Strange how little you change. But it's also, it's bizarre how few people notice it. Because we live in the Northwest and most people don't think that there's an accent and don't think that there's like, oh, up in the Northwest, this is how you're supposed to talk. Maybe you go to the South and they're like, man, this guy sounds weird.
Yep. Over and over again. Yep. Well, that's excellent. That's excellent. So work's been well, though, huh? That's good.
Yeah, it's just, well, everything's just, it's starting to kind of get back to normal, or people are just getting used to being stuck with crap. Where were we?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what would have to happen? So after, let's look at the last year. Pandemic is obvious, right? You're closer than me. All the fires that we had a huge snow and ice storm. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had, you know, countless rollbacks, openings, shutdowns, reopenings, reshutting down of just about everything that we've had. We had murder hornets was an actual thing
that was a thing last year. Yeah,
all sports were canceled. Like, what would have to happen in like the coming weeks that would throw you off?
Oh, another smoke and ash event.
Well, it would throw you off, but like, would you be surprised?
Oh, no. Oh, you mean surprised?
Yeah,
oh,
like,
no,
like, no, yeah, like oh, mentally or physically throw you off of like survival mode.
In my mind, it's already
happening. Yeah, the smoke and ash event, you're already having a little bit of that right now, aren't you?
We are getting a little bit. It's nothing like last year yet, though, thank goodness. Yeah. But no, like, what would take to surprise me? No, there's not a lot that would surprise me. I'm at
Japan invading the West Coast of the United States or something.
We're just, we've reached the point of like, well, this is where we're at, and this is just, here we go, you know, just picking up the pieces of a day. And the interesting part is that the thing that I'm finding out, right, especially going through the paint shortage and everything else like that, 99% of people, 99% give you grace. You know, they're happy that we're communicating on the paint shortage and where things are at. What I did was I sent an email out weeks ago that basically told clients, like, listen, the paint shortage is real. And what's happening is it's taking somewhere between 4 to 8 weeks to fill a paint order. And I can't wait around on production that way. So I told everybody, send me your paint colors. Let's get this thing done. Right. Yep. And then Sherwin currently is just holding all these paint orders, and they fill them as they get the trucks that can fill them. And I'm just rolling out jobs as they can produce or as they can fill an order. So an example would be, I had a lady that booked 3 weeks ago. She would normally get done probably in October at this point, but because she chose a paint color that's a relative neutral across the board, she's likely to be painted next week because we can get those bases in and we're ready to go, you know?
So neutral colors are more available than exotic colors.
When we say neutral bases are relatively the bases are more available. But see, the problem is that a lot of homeowners choose a neutral or a dark tone, or I mean, or a light tone, it doesn't matter. But whatever they choose neutral of, they go opposite for the trim. Dark trim, light trim, whatever it is, or vice versa. So in that exchange, great, we can get either the trim or the base, but we can't get the trim or the base for the because you chose the extra white or the super deep dark, super bright red or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so that's the game that we're playing right now. And quite literally, last week, We had a paint order that we normally Sherwin would move paint for us, right? They'll move paint all the time. That's not a problem. But because they're so tapped out trying to move paint as they are, they've started subcontracting driving situations out, yeah, to just get carriers out to do it. So I drove up to Vancouver last week to go fill an order and pick up paint for a job that I'm painting here in Homsville.
Yeah.
That's great. And the worst part was, here's the worst. It didn't even come as, like, it was a 20-gallon order. You'd expect that to be 4 or 5 gallon buckets.
Oh.
Individual buckets,
yeah,
singles across the board. It was insane. But what I did was I made a day of it. I drove up to through Portland, and I knew I was going by multiple Sherwin-Williams stores. Thank goodness for having multiple stores. And I would literally just walk in. I'd say, hi, my name's Ben. I'm the owner of Box Painting. I'm here to pick up any gallons that are satin exterior.
There you go.
Resilience or above. And I quite literally harvested like $2,500 worth of paint that day. And
there you go.
Back of the truck, and I'll fill out orders as I can.
I'm a little disappointed because my hope was that, like, and I know it doesn't work this way, but I was hoping that just like the only thing left on the shelves were like the most insane colors. Like, oh yeah, that Lavender House, they didn't want to paint it that color, but it was 2021 and that's the only color they could do. It's like that, you know.
Here we go.
Midnight sunset, right?
Midnight sunset. I love a midnight sunset.
Can you invent your own colors when you get your big meeting with Sherwin Williams? Have you done that yet? Have you gone out?
Yeah, no, I have not gone out, but I have had a couple of meetings with their corporate people out of Ohio and then yep, their PR department. But go
you
ahead.
You need to ask for your own color.
So
you get your own color. Yeah, like, you know,
it's funny that you mentioned that because
if somebody's looking through and they're like, what the hell, Ben's
I made mention of this. I made mention of this like quite literally late last week and I said, you know what, I'm just going to put this out in the universe and see what happens. Right. And I actually said it, I think it was in a live. I said, you know, I think one of the things that would really just like make me see how real everything is in this world would be to have Sherwin let me pick Box Dad Blue as a color. And that's the name of the color. If that were to happen, that's then here we are, right?
That's
then,
it. And do you know what blue it is?
Yeah.
Did you? Okay. So it fits on the color wheel. The Sherwin name gives you that big ass book.
Yeah, I know.
Here's like all of the different colors.
Yeah.
Is blue your favorite color? Or did you look at that and go, man, they've got a blue's, gap. They've got a gap there.
Blue's my favorite color, hands down. Everybody assumes, like, even in the Reddit posts, they assume that I match the color to my eyes. Like that's my favorite blue color. Like that's the assumption, is that I was going after my eye color, and that's not it. It was just that's my favorite color. Okay. And in Sherwin-Williams terms, right, technically that color is called spa blue.
Okay.
Spa blue. I've painted my door that color. I absolutely love it. It's bright. It's cheery.
What's the color next to spa blue on the wheel though?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, see what I'm saying. Is there a gap where there's a new color?
Oh, we can make one. There's always a way to make one. You just add more black, add more white. You make a new color. It's all good.
Yeah. But would you want to make your own color? Or you just want to switch spa blue? You want your favorite color to be named after you?
I don't care what it is, as long as if there was a color named after me.
Oh, you do care what it is. You don't want chartreuse.
That's true. Okay. That's fair. That's a fair statement. I do care which color it would be. And yes, I would want say over that.
Okay.
That's
is the blue because you're a Colts fan?
No.
Are you a Colts fan because of blue?
So coincidentally, the reason I love it, like favorite number's 4, right? Favorite color is blue. At five years old, T-ball team, right? We were the Blue Jays, rocking blue tees, right? And my number was 4. And from then on, that was the end of it.
I'm going to have to think about it. My favorite color has always been yellow.
Okay.
I think my first T-ball team
might have been yellow. I love that your house is yellow also now, by the way.
It is. Well, the funny thing was we were going between blue and blue and yellow.
And
I didn't want any red, orange, pink. My wife wanted green, but and you've been to my house, every house in the neighborhood is green on each direction for at least three houses, one way, two the other.
Yeah, it's very.
There's a mint, and then there's like a bunch of like olive green, every color of pickled olive that you can imagine, like all on the things. So we're not doing green. And we didn't want to do gray, which is very trendy right now, because we just wanted something with a little cheer to it.
Yeah.
We looked at blue with white trim, or we looked at yellow, and we looked at light trim, dark trim. And then when we found the trim that we liked, and then it was just like, let's try it with blue. Let's try it. But it's a very dark trim called seal skin.
It is, yeah.
Which could be changed to box brown or whatever you wanted, box dad brown or whatever. Make you very happy and rich, because everybody compliments that color. Like, people are like, oh, yeah, the yellow. It's, you know, I don't know if I would have picked it. Well, but our neighbors go, our whole house is lit up. And everybody goes, I don't know if I would have picked it, but I really like it. But everybody loves the trim.
That's good.
So there's something about that. So I don't know. But it's, it's difficult. It's a difficult task picking out a paint color for your house.
It is. I've gotten into the habit on TikTok where, not habit, I have people that ask me for, as we get close to NFL season, they're asking for their team colors so they can make their, you know, lady caves, their man dens, whatever that is.
Yeah.
They want the colors for, like, I did one for the Seahawks. I've done one for the Steelers.
Yeah. My nephew wants a Seahawk bedroom. He just, my sister.
I made this selection to the degree that Blitz the Seahawk commented on the post.
Oh, how about that? You know, that's not a real bird.
A Seahawk? Yeah. I mean, I know that's the like,
or no,
the
a bird. Seahawk is a real bird. It's an osprey. An osprey is also known as a Seahawk. But I'm saying Blitz he's a guy in a suit.
Oh, dang it.
Didn't know if you knew that.
Well,
yeah, I didn't.
Out here scattering dreams or what?
That's what I'm here for.
Next thing you're going to tell me is that Santa's not real.
Whoa. What now? Why would you even say that?
Why would you say that?
Every year around Christmas time, everybody takes a lot of vacation. I end up doing more shows on The Fan and do more sports talk radio right around Christmas, which is a pretty good time to talk sports. You have all the bowl games. Sure. You have the pending college football playoff, the final race for NFL. Christmas Day is big for the NBA. It's a great time to be talking about sports.
Yeah.
Every single year, Santa Claus comes up and a text comes in. Thanks, jerks. My kid's in the car. And you just said Santa wasn't. Like clockwork. And it's not always me that says it, but there's always somebody on the air. And then we have our text thread that just runs through. Always. So thanks a lot, jerks.
Fun story on that note, right? on a Santa note. Santa on TikTok, he follows me, right? He's a verified all that, right? Santa J Claus.
Oh, okay. Boy. What's J stand for?
Jolly.
Oh, barf. Get out of here.
It might not be. I don't know what it is. I think it's
terrible. James.
James.
James Claus.
Okay. So Santa gets on one of my lives. This is maybe a month or two ago, right?
Yeah.
And as you can see, I always sit in my lives with behind me, the elk antlers and yada, you know, it's just part of my whatever.
It's who you are.
Yeah. He gets on there and he goes, he makes a reindeer comment. He goes, was that Rudolph? Don't tell Donner.
Yeah. Luckily, there's not a lot of kids in your lives, I'm guessing.
No, I lost it, though. It was That's so funny. Good. It was such a good comment from Santa. We appreciate Santa out there.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah. So life is crazy. We don't really have as much paint as we want. Sure. Short of everything, you know, it's the world we're living in. But, you know, we could talk about how to fill paint orders when, you know,
is that what you want to do? Well, you know, you realize we're probably at the end of the episode now.
We probably are. And that's okay. Yeah. That's fine. Because, you know, at the end of it all, there's a lot of positive things going on in my world. A lot of positive things. Tons of them. Aside from, you know, obviously TikTok, it's a lot of fun things there. But in the world of box painting, and you know this, the followers know this, some of the listeners might, we're getting ready to be a franchise. And we're tracking on that real well.
Where are you in the process? Like, how far along are you with this?
Okay, so we're 2 months in at this point.
Months into planning.
Two months in since I officially started consulting with the company, the franchise Genesis that I'm consulting with. And their job for about 4 to 6 months is to take box painting and turn it into a franchise. It's just a turnkey operation. I fill out questionnaires. We do a lot of drafts of ops manuals, the FDD, all that fun stuff. The things that are legally required to be there as part of a franchise operation. And so there's a lot of, it's adding a lot to the plate. There's no doubt about that. It adds a ton to the plate of what I'm trying to do this year, but it is a lot of fun and it's a lot of learning along the way. And so we're 2 months in, we expect to be operational October, November on the franchise front for box painting. And it's important because, you know, as we roll into 2022, I definitely have lofty goals. And the biggest part of that is that, so with the legal help of this franchise group, they've outsourced a legal team that basically does all the legal end of it. One thing that I want to include as part of box painting in a franchise is the charitable give back. So the one thing that I'm really after is basically figuring out ways to fund charity. That's what I want to do. And one of the biggest nervousness things that I'm always going to have is about giving just money to franchise or giving money to places that I don't know where it's going to ultimately end up and how they're going to facilitate those funds. And so what I've done is actually taken on the idea that I'm going to have this legal team set up a 5301C, a charitable foundation. It will be called Box Foundation. Mm-hmm. And Box Foundation, the long-term goal here is 2030. I want to be doing somewhere around $250,000 in charitable give back. And those funds come from a mandatory franchise part of the agreement that is based on overall revenue, overall sales, that there's a percentage that those franchises that are existing in the nation are contributing to this overall fund. And so by 2030, doing $250,000, that's my goal. And in cities that we are currently franchising in at that point is kind of the goal. So where you run into community centers, there's always red tape that they have to run through, and by the time they run through the red tape, the funds part have ran out, or the timeline for those funds has run out. They need the funds to be able to do that. And so the partnership with Sherwin-Williams is there to help with that idea also, so that Sherwin is basically becoming, what I want them to do is become a material supplier for that charitable give back. And then the funds are for kicking out the labor end of it, the volunteer work and all that back end stuff that needs to happen. But it's going to be built around building out communities. And
nice.
Keeping
a fresh coat of paint on the community centers and the public works areas. And
yeah, absolutely. And just, you know, there's a lot of good that needs to be done in the world. You know, there's a lot of good that needs to be done. And I'm quite convinced at this point that part of it is the legacy part for me, that when I'm done here on this earth, that's what's left. Box painting is what it is. Like to the degree that I've said it, I have no expectation for my children to carry the mantle of box painting beyond me. If they want to, great. But honestly, it's going to be weird to me if they're as passionate about paint as I am. Like, that's a weird, I don't talk about paint to my kids the way I talk to my clients about paint. You know what I mean? Yeah. So why are you so passionate about paint? Where did that come from? I don't get it. So, I don't see that being that part of the legacy that I'm after. The legacy would be Box Foundation in the long run. And so starting that I have to start it now because it needs to be written into the franchise disclosure documents. You can't spring that on a franchisee.
Nope.
You know, down the road, be like, oh, hey, by the way, you're now giving out to this foundation. Sorry. Yeah. This doesn't work that way. So yeah, getting everything up front, just making sure that we're dialed in. But basically by October, November, we are operating as a franchise and ready to do this thing.
So if a franchise owner comes in October, I mean, it depends on where it is in the country, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at least in the Northwest, that's kind of the perfect timing where there's not going to be an overwhelming demand. Mm-hmm. People are kind of planning out so you can kind of ease into, you know, that real paint season. And then are you going to try to start local or are you trying to start national or you don't care where it comes from? Do you want to, like, I know for some franchise owners, they are ownership groups. They want to be able to, you know, be within a drive distance of everybody, at least when they start. So the first few can be, you know, essentially. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. And you're available for them.
Yeah. That's definitely a goal. There's like, I want to be, I mean, if in my, I'm such an optimist, right? That everything happens in a perfect world for me. That's where I'm at. Everything happens in a perfect world for me. I just make it happen. So in my perfect world, Portland is first, Vancouver becomes a part of that. And then leading up to Seattle, I would also entertain the concept of Central Oregon.
Yeah.
There's quite a bit of population out there that needs to be serviced. And from what I'm understanding and just key demographics and things that are happening from census population stuff is that that area, Bend and even Idaho, out of Boise, Boise, if you say Boise, to get mad if you say it wrong. That those populations are growing.
There's no question. There's a lot of people moving to Idaho.
And so it's taking advantage of those opportunities where they are. Those are where I would focus my efforts. However, all of that comes with the caveat of if I found an individual in Delaware, right, that or wherever that meets that criteria of what I'm looking for in a franchisee, then we're rolling with it. I will not stop somebody from being a franchisee based on my ability to fly or not fly to them in the immediate, you know, they're going to get support and I'll make sure they'll get that support. So. Yeah,
but it's also new for you too, right? I mean, knowing what people are going to expect of you locally makes it a lot easier.
It does.
When you're sitting on an airplane going 6 hours across the country going, all right, when I get there, they need me to do exactly what I'm not sure versus.
And you know, a lot of those things are things that the consultant group that I'm working with helped me come up with. Those items that if I was doing this truly solo, I wouldn't have keyed in on like, oh, I'm going to need to do this in the future. And an example of that is, you know, we start talking about op manuals and how I run box painting. I have to write all that out. Like how I daily make shit happen. Right.
Yep.
That's great. That's fun. But the next part of that is there's going to be a training.
Yep.
And so it keyed me off to this idea that, oh crap, I need to start worrying about an actual training concept now. And so I've already put somebody kind of onto that. And as I come out with the ops manual, they're just going to start creating training slides through PowerPoint that we'll do. And, you know, but getting those things ready now.
Yep.
Yeah. Those are important things that if I wasn't ready for it come time, it's going to be a problem. Those are the hiccups you don't want to run into. So, you know, I want to run into hiccups like, oh, I don't have a power cord for this laptop today. I don't want to run into issues of, oh, I don't have a presentation to give these people that just gave me tens of thousands of dollars for.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Know? Well,
that doesn't sound cozy to me. That doesn't sound cozy. Copacetic, I think is a word.
Well, the nice thing is that you've got a partner that's helping you kind of get prepared for all of that. What's next with your social media empire?
Social media empire. A lot of it has to do with giveaways. We're getting into giveaways right now. And
giving away some Tootsie Pops?
We do. Yeah, actually. Yes. Yes. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. That was not a plant. Anybody listening? That was a genuine question.
Hashtag not sponsored.
Yet.
No, it's so getting into the giveaways, you know, it is, migrating traffic across platforms, right? From TikTok to what we're calling instant gratification, because instant gratification doesn't like it when you use their other monikers.
Wait, what is instant gratification? I'm confused.
IG.
Oh, Got, oh, I understand what you're doing there. Get the instant. I get it. Hey, listen, it's going to take me a second on in the social medias today. I went on LinkedIn today and I was like, 51 notifications. And I just shut it off. I didn't even look at it.
This is garbage.
I was like, oh, a guy that I saw a few weeks ago wants to connect with me. It's like, dude, you're going to call me when you want to play golf. And if you don't, whatever.
It's fine. You have my
cell. Yeah. Like, I don't. Cool. You like you, if you need another connect on it to boost your profile, whatever. Yeah. Hit me up. Most of the people on there, I don't even know who they are.
That's good. But yeah, so turnout giveaways, you know, when it comes to the empire part, here's what I can tell you. I have my concept right now, it revolves around the idea that level of positivity that you see or I exude, whatever word you want to use to describe it, it is that light that attracts other people to me, right? And that light that attracts that moth. And I enjoy that concept a lot. And what I'm finding in business is that 99% of the time, I'm attracting even people in business that I want to work with. Those homeowners, they see my content.
Yeah.
It either immediately turns them off or it gets them to call. They laugh or they cry, one way or another. Either they're calling it or not, but they decide for themselves. And so taking that same concept and kind of putting it into social media and being that light is very, very, I'm very aware of it, is the way I would say it, is that I'm very aware of what that vibe is. And I want that part to continue into the idea that it will help me attract franchisees. There's no doubt about
it. Yeah.
That I will begin to attract the people that I want to work with on a franchise level, not just the homeowner level, but now starting to attract those franchisees that have, I don't expect them to have the same passion about paint. That's not where I think they need to be at, because I don't think that that's a thing. But I will say that they need to be passionate in the idea that they value, they place high value on time with their family, time with their children, and being able to turn it off. Meaning that when it comes weekend time for me, you will not get a hold of me. It does not exist. I don't exist in your world anymore for that weekend. And I made a TikTok yesterday, you know, I went fishing yesterday with my father and the ocean, you know, my dad calls me on Friday. He's like, hey, the ocean's looking pretty good on Monday. You think you can go? And I looked at my calendar and coincidentally, I normally leave my Mondays relatively open so that I can go do things that are ultimately that idea in a business world of just like putting out potential fires or handling the fire before it becomes a fire. You know, putting out, making sure you check on that smoke and say, hey, is everything okay here? Maybe it's just checking on the paint order. I don't know what it was, but I leave my Mondays open. I don't schedule a lot of appointments and that's important. And so I looked at that calendar. I was like, well, it's technically open right now. I can keep that crap open and the painters can handle it. And the painters handled their business. We were good to go. And so I went fishing. So the people that I'm looking for, they hold that value the same. That's the value that they hold the same of, is they're willing to do the things necessary during the week to make sure that during the weekend, their dad, their mom, they're not a business owner. It does, because, and I will always say this, there is literally no such thing as a paint emergency. that does not exist in this world. There's no such thing as a paint emergency. Even when there's no paint in the world, there's no emergency. Yeah. There's no freaking paint.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. There's no point to it. So
people need paint. They'll make it again.
Exactly.
People are going to buy it. It'll get there when it gets there. Even pipes exploding and the rainbow coloration of the inside of the factory, which unfortunately did not happen.
Did not happen. But, you know, it is. But yeah. So the social media part plays much more into the long-term game of Box Foundation. That's how, like, they become linked in the long term. And but they're all a facet and they're all interconnected. And I like it. I like it. You can see the smile. Like, that's a fun part for me. I like that. I like the community that I'm building. I can feel it. They're a neat group of people out there that, that follow me. And, like I get on these lives and I'll be talking and they're not listening to a damn word I'm saying. They're just some of them just get on to chit chat with each other. They're not there to see me at all. I love that. I'll tell stories. We play games. We do that stuff, but they are there for that community environment. And I like that. That's the ability to inspire people, right? Is one that everybody should hold sacred. If you can inspire another person, if it's one individual to make their lives better in any way, that's a powerful thing. And you've done a lot of good in that day if you are inspiring others. So I do not take it with a grain of salt. And I certainly appreciate my followers and everything that they do for me. And the, you know, the funny, crazy things that they send me that end up, you know, in a live or on a TikTok or whatever it is. We have fun out there. So, yeah.
I don't know if we taught anybody anything with this episode, but we talked for an hour. It's very entertaining. Well, this is my suggestion. I say we call it How to Eat a Tootsie Pop.
Done.
Perfect. That's what it'll be. This is the How To Podcast with Ben and Luke, or Luke and Ben, however you want it to be. So anybody that enjoyed this, there's more episodes out there. We'll continue to make more episodes. Ben, that's great, man. I love the idea of the foundation and the community. And I get the sense that you're going to have as much opinion about the people you turn away as you let into the box painting franchise, which is going to make it valuable. So it'll be like, hey, I don't want somebody. I appreciate what you're bringing, but if it's not the right energy, it's going to be a no-go, which is cool.
Yeah. And the other thing on that too, I'd say is it's not a no forever. People change. It's not a no forever. Just because I say no once, it doesn't mean it's a no forever. So
there you go. There you go. Well, cool. Anything else to add? How to Eat a Tootsie Pop.
How to Eat a Tootsie Pop. No, I got nothing. No. I got nothing. It was good episode. I had fun.
Perfect. Luke. Well, hey, it sounds like the next episode will be very much the same. Then we'll just either turn on the mics. I guess we have to do it in person because I need to try all these different Pez.
Here we go. We're going to do how to
wherever it goes. Maybe we just, we just start naming them at the end. Figure it out. There's one little nugget. Something pops into our heads.
Pull through it.
What it'll be. How to Eat a Tootsie Pop. Listen to all the how-to podcasts. Follow Ben on TikTok. Listen to my radio show on odyssey.com. It's called The Sinner and the Saint. We do it on Saturdays. It's delightful. Until this takes over and becomes the next Joe Rogan podcast, listen to me there.
Goals. Hashtag goals.
Hashtag. Love it. I think if this becomes the Joe Rogan podcast, I'm the guy that gets replaced and you stick around. So
No. Not at all. Not at all. There's no replacement.
There you go. Okay. I dig it. Ben, have a wonderful day. Thanks. I'm gonna shut off the recording now.